We're holding your Aleph Amud Bey's seven lines from the bottom by the two dots. Today, we're going to be discussing a lot of deep Kabbalistic ideas, many of which are explained in Tertus Chassidus, but to be able to do them justice would take a lot longer than the hour that we have ourselves, so we'll see what we can do. Mishnah said, "V'loy b'maisi b'reishis b'shnayim," that when you're teaching maisi b'reishis, you can't teach it to two people at a time. So Maisi Bereshis is going to include various things that the Gemara is now going to talk about how Hashem created the world, the Ruchniistic world, and ultimately the Gashmiistic world. There's a lot of deep secrets in it that are the stuff of Kabbalah, basically. And we're saying that there's a limitation on how many people you can teach it to at the same time, because again, we don't want them to misunderstand. It's very easy with a lot of the descriptions that the Gemara is going to give us now. It's very easy to take them too literally and then get wrong conceptions of Hashem or creation, or to think ideas. For example, when we talked about yesterday, the idea that philosophers had the notion in those days, I guess some of them in a way still do, that the world has always existed and that created itself, et cetera, et cetera. So you have to be careful with these things. The Gemara says, "Menohani mili." Where do we know this from, that you can't teach Maisa Bereshis to two people at a time? So the Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says, "Ki sha'al na the Yomim Rishonim." Ask now about the earlier days. So sha'al na is in the singular. Now remember, Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to the Jewish people collectively. So why is he saying in the singular? It means yochid shoyova and shnayim shoyova. It means you can only have one person at a time ask about it. So a Rebbe is teaching a Talmud, and then one Talmud at a time, ve'en shnayim shoyolin, but two people not. Next, yochol yishal adam kodim shenivra olam. You would think that implies if you're allowed to ask about yomim rishonim, so it means you're allowed to ask about even what was there before the world was created. Talmud daimed, no, therefore the pasuk says, lumina yoyim asha bara alakim adam ala aretz. From the day that Hashem created Adam, that Hashem created man on the earth. Now, Adam was created on the sixth day. Does that mean you're not allowed to talk about the previous days? Yochol yishal Adam misheshes mebereshes. Does that mean to imply that you're not allowed to ask about the details of what happened on the previous 5 days of Maisa Bereshes? No, Talmud Leimer. L'yomim rishonim ashaho yolupanecha. No, the Pasuk says the earlier days that were before you. You, meaning humanity. So therefore, yes, you are allowed to ask about the Torah is telling you sha'al na about those days. So you are allowed to ask about those. You are allowed to ask and investigate and learn about what happened during those 5 days, but not before that. Which, in that case, Marashah says. So then, why does it mention the point is, one from when Hashem created mankind on the earth, that you have to delve into much more deeply, you have to delve into much more deeply because human beings are tachlis abriya. So there you need to investigate more thoroughly. But yes, you can ask about what happened during the days before it. Yocho yishal adam malamilo malamata malafonim malachor. So then you would think a person has the right to ask about what is above and below, which we said in the Mishnah. Rashi said above the rakia shal gabi achayis, which we're going to talk about later on in the Gemara. So that would mean, in other words, to ask about too high levels of a lakus, too high for a person to comprehend, or lamato, or what's below them, what's below those heavens, meaning the highest HaKodesh themselves, or it means below the earth, and malafonim malaachar, or what's before or what's after, which we said yesterday, there are two possibilities. Rashi says that it means before before and behind the sky, the vault of the sky. So in other words, areas that are not within our power to be able to comprehend and to be able to understand anything about. Or there was a Tosfos in Rashi and also Tosfos and also the regular Tosfos on the other side of the Gemara that talks about that maybe Lefanim and La'ocher mean before Maisa Bereshis and after it. So what was there before the world existed, and what will there be after the world ceases to exist? So you would think a person is allowed to delve into those. No, Talmud Leimel, the same pasuk continues from the end of heaven until the end of the heaven. implying from one end of the heaven to the other, whatever you're able, whatever is within human ken, within human ability to know, at the shoyl, then you can ask. Ain't at the shoyl, malamayla, malamata, malafanim, malachar, but not to ask beyond that in space or in time. Because again, you don't want people, you don't want that you're going to start thinking, for example, that the world has always existed or that there are powers out there other than Hashem or who knows what, chas v'shalom. Again, now that we have, when the Gemara was written, Teres HaKabbalah, Teres HaNister was just that, Nister. It was hidden and only revealed to a select few, like we're saying over here, one at a time. Now that we have, now that the Al-Rizal said Mutter or Mitzvah, Legalus Zuah Chochma, and then in particular where Teres HaChsidus takes it and puts it into a form that's more comprehensible to us. So now, to a certain extent, we do talk about Malamata, Malamayla, Malamayla, Lamata, Lefonim, and La'ocha. We talk about things Lifnat Simpson. We talk about we talk about all kinds of things like that, because Chassidus puts it in a way that's more digestible and more that you can learn it in a way that it's not going to be misinterpreted and perverted into something that would be against other courses, Chas v'shalom. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Hashta denaskele milukzeh shemayim v'atzeh shemayim. Now, the last thing we said was that once it says milukzeh shemayim v'atzeh shemayim, then it means you're not allowed to ask about and delve into what's outside of the mechitzes, and also, therefore, what's before Maisa Bereshis. So once we know from those words that you're not supposed to ask about what there was before Maisa Bereshis, then why do we need the earlier part of the pasuk that says from the day that Hashem created man on earth? Which also we said before means that you're not supposed to ask about before Kodim Shenivra Olam. So those words in the pasuk then are extra. The answer is Kedirab Elazar. The answer is those words are not teaching us about the details of what you're allowed and not allowed to delve into and to ask about. Rather, they're teaching us a different thing that Rabbi Elazar said. The Amar Rabbi Elazar, Adam Arishin mina Oretz Ad L'Rakia. Adam Arishin, before the Chatei Tzadas, stretched from the earth until the heaven. Shenema l'mina yeima shebore l'kim Adam ala Oretz. So the pasuk says that Hashem, from the day that Hashem created man on the earth, and the next words in the pasuk are ul mekseh hashamayim, and from the end of heaven. So in other words, we're meant to darshan, even though in Poshet Pshat, the words ul mekseh hashamayim belong to the next phrase, but we're also meant to darshan that it means Hashem created Adam on the earth, but also ul mekseh hashamayim, that he reaches up all the way to the edge of heaven. So that was his size. Well, we're not talking about a gashmiistic size. We're talking about beruchnius, in other words, that Adam included in him everything in the world. We say that the Adam was the neshama klolis of all humanity that were going to be after him. It means that Adam's comprehension included not only the physical world and not only the lower world, but even the higher ruchniistic world. So he reached all the way up to there. The kivin shesarach, but once he went bad, once he did the chetei tzadas, he niach hakadosh baruch hu yodav olav umiyatoi. Then Hashem kavyoch placed his hands on him and made him smaller. Shenema, as the pasuk says, kapitol kuf lamed tes of Tilim is a kapitol that the basis of it was written by Adam Rishon, and then it was afterwards incorporated into Tilim by David, rewritten and incorporated into Tilim by David HaMelech. So he says, Ocher v'kedem tzartoni, you created me beforehand and afterwards, v'toshes olai kapecha, and you placed your hand upon me. So in other words, in effect, Adam is saying, you created me twice. First, you created me in one form, much greater and bigger, and then you made me, and then you put your hand on me and made me smaller. The hands that were placed on him, Marashar explains, are the hands of Chesed and of Gvura. So those came into operation now, and those made Adam that now he was still very tall. The Gemara in Bava Basra has an expression that he was 100 amas tall, which again means primarily beruchnius. It means that he still contained within him the ten spheres, the moichen and midas that are within a person, and each one of them blended with all the other ones. He was still tremendously greater than we can imagine. But nevertheless, he still wasn't mea oretz ad l'rakia like he had been before the chetei tzadas. So that's what we're learning from the words ashabara elikim adam ala oretz. Not that those words are teaching us limitations on what we're allowed to delve into and not delve into, because that we have the other part of the pasuk, the Mekseh Shemayim, Mekseh Shemayim, that teaches us that part. Next, Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav. We have to realize also, you know, when we learn these things, I mean, for example, you know, we talk about a person's not supposed to think about what there was before the world existed. We have to remember, for example, let's say, you know, we think in terms of time and we think in terms of space. We have no conception of what it means, a existence without time or an absence of space. An absence of space to us is space. So that's what the Gemara means also, to be careful about these things, because you have to be very careful. What one thing that Chassidus does is it's mafshit these things from the Gashmius. You look at these descriptions that we're going to have in the Gemara, and you look at the descriptions in Zohar and in other Sifrei Kabbalah. They seem to describe they seem to describe other course and the various things, the spirits and whatever, in very physical terms. And Chassidus comes and explains that they really are ruchniistic realities that it uses physical mashalim to make them comprehensible to us, but it always stresses that they represent spiritual realities that we can't even comprehend, or that we have to try to comprehend as much as possible. But still, that, for example, let's say to be able to imagine what it means, you know, that time didn't exist yet to us. That's that, you know, what do you mean? We live in a world of time. So these are the kinds of things that, therefore, the Gemara is saying that you have to be careful about to learn them in a way that doesn't impair your belief in, for example, the idea that Hashem created time and that before that there was no time. Let's say. Okay, getting back to the Gemara, Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Odomarishin mi sofa olam vad sofa, Odomarishin extended from one end of the world to the other. Shenema, the same pasuk that we just quoted, Lemina yoyma shabora elakim odam ala oretz, from the day that Hashem created man upon the earth, olam ktzei ha-shamayim va'ad ktzei ha-shamayim, from one end of the heaven to the other. Again, if we picture the Shemayim as being like a vault, as being like an arch over the earth, then you have it has ends, one end and the other end. And we're saying from one end to the other end, implying that he could stretch from one end to the other. Rashi says it means, in other words, he's lying down. His head is in the extreme east and his feet are in the extreme west. Kivin Chesorach, but then when he went bad and did the Chetei Tadas, then Hashem put his hand on him and made him smaller. Like we said before, Shinema Vatosha, it's all like Hapecha, that is, as the pasuk says, you placed your hand upon him. So the question is, Yehochu Koshu Kroy Adodi, don't the psukim contradict each other then? One pasuk is saying from one end of the world to the other one is saying from earth to heaven. And the answer is, Aidi Ba'aidi, Chad Shiorahu, both of them actually refer to the same size. So two different ways of expressing the same size. Tosfos has a long discussion over here about misofa olam vad sofa would mean mahalach tof kuf shana, or we're going to talk about it in the Gemara tomorrow, about Hashem, a distance that would take a person 500 years to walk. And Tosfos brings an idea that where do we get 500 davka? The Gemara is going to say soon that the name Shakai, Shin Dalad Yud, is the name that represents that Hashem said the world is going to be so big and no bigger. Now, if we spell out the words Shin, Dalid Yud, and you take the osius nistaris of them. You have from Shin, you take the Yud Nun, from Dalid Lamed Tov, and then from Yud Vav Dalid. Then those equal 500. So therefore, though, that represents the idea that that name is what Hashem created the world with in a certain size, Tov Kuf Shana, and not larger than that. So we're saying originally Adam was that size, metaphorically at least, and then after that he's reduced down to 100 amos. Continues the Gemara. The Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Asara Dvarim Nivru B'Yom Rishon. There are 10 things that Hashem created on the first day. The Elohein, Shamayim Va'aretz, heaven and earth. Toyo Vavoyu, which we usually, you know, we learn Chumash, for example, we say that Toyo Vavoyu means formlessness and emptiness. Rashi explains there on the pasuk that Toyo means something, your person would be astonished at the emptiness of it. Vavoyu means emptiness, Toyo means astonishment. So we mean like astonishingly empty, like a person would look at it and they'd be amazed by how empty it is. But here the Gemara is going to explain that Toyo and Vavoyu are actually things that Hashem created, that are used to create the rest of the world. Erva Choshech, light and darkness, Ruach Umayim, the wind or the air and the water, Midas Yom and Midas Laila, the measure of day and night. In other words, day and night were separated out only later, but to begin with, Hashem set up that there are 24 hours in a day and night cycle. All it is, Rashi mentions on the Pasuk that originally, there was like a mixture over there, some day and night going back and forth without any kind of Seder, until Hashem made a Seder a certain number of hours of day and a certain number of hours of night. But we're saying, and then already before that, Hashem created the concept that there are 24-hour days. And the last two are Ur v'Choshech, light and darkness. So the Gemara is now going to bring Psukim to bear all those out, that Hashem created them on the first day. Maharsha explains that we have in here the four Yesodis, we have in here the four elements of the natural world. Eish here is represented by Choshech, because Choshech, he says, doesn't mean fire as we perceive it. It means the element of fire, which to us would appear dark. We don't have the ability to see it with our eyes. You think of it in scientific terms. You could be talking about like ultraviolet and various other forms of radiation that are invisible to our eyes. To us, they would appear as black or as colorless, but they are the element of fire. So you have that. Ruach Mayim and Ruach and Mayim are mentioned over here explicitly. Offer would be Oretz. Then he goes on to say Toyu and Voyu are what Hashem uses to create the differences in things, the fact that you have things that are hot and things that are cold, things that are the physical properties of things, hot, cold, wet, dry, etc. All those physical properties come about, as the Gemara is going to say soon, through Toyu v'Voyu. Then you have time, which is Midas Yom and Midas Laila. And then you have Ur, which is why the purpose that Hashem created the world for is that there should be Ur in it. There's a sikha actually in Chelek Yud where the Rebbe expands on that idea and explains. We're talking about the Ur, that the Ur of Elikos. Ultimately, the world is created in order to take the world and transform it into the Ur of Elikos. As the Gemara is going to say soon, that Ur, that light, was hidden away, but it still exists. The fact that Hashem created it, because that is the ultimate purpose of the world, that there should be Ur in it. So these are the things that Hashem created on the first day. So now let's go through them, how we know that each of those was created on the first day. I think I skipped a couple of lines over here. Ve'elin, Shemayim v'aref, Tov v'voyu, Ur v'choshech, Ruach ha'mayim, Midas yom v'midas laila. I skipped a couple of lines over here. So those are the 10 things. Now, Shemayim v'aref, how do we know that Hashem created heaven and earth on the first day? Just the B'reishas v'aref, the Kimas Shemayim v'aref. Toyu v'voyu, dichtiv, the next pasuk continues, v'aretz ha'isa soyu v'voyu. The earth was toyu v'voyu. So again, we're understanding over here that toyu v'voyu is not just emptiness and formlessness or whatever. It actually, these are things that Hashem created, ruchnistic realities that Hashem created, from which there are effects in our world. As Maharsha says, those are what bring about the fact that that various creations in the world have various physical properties is mediated kind of through Toyu v'Voyu. Next, Ur v'Choshech, where do we see that Hashem created light and dark on the first day? Choshech dichtiv v'Choshech apnei sahim. The same pasuk continues that there was darkness on the face of the deep. Ur dichtiv v'yomer elokim yihi Ur. The next pasuk says Hashem said there should be light. Ruach umayim dichtiv, back in the second part of Beruach Elikim, merachefes apnei amoyim, the spirit of Hashem was hovering, the wind of Hashem was hovering over the face of the water. So therefore, that means the water and the wind had to be created at that point also. Midas yom, midas laila, and Hashem created the measure of day and night. There was evening and morning one day. So Hashem set up then that there was going to be evening for a certain darkness for a certain amount of time and light for a certain amount of time, and then that the whole thing should make up a 24-hour period. Okay, what are Toyu v'Voyu? Tana, we learn in a Braisa. Toyu kav yorek shemakef es kol ha'olam kuloi. Toyu is a green line that surrounds the whole world. Shemimenu yotza choshech, darkness comes out of it. Shenema, as the pasuk says, yoshes choshech sisrei tzvivoysav. The pasuk says Hashem makes darkness His concealment surrounding Him. So we see that there's something surrounding the world from which darkness comes. If you want to think of it in scientific terms, there are bands of radiation surrounding the Earth, which are electromagnetic radiation. They're in that sense like light, but they're different wavelengths. They're not visible to our eyes, and therefore, in that sense, we could say that it's darkness. But the Beruchnius, for example, there's someplace in Hemshech Ayin Beis. It talks about that this it associates Yoruk, this Kav Yoruk. It talks about is Bina, which is Makif, and then Soviv, and the fact that it's green is associated with Esther Amalko, who says we learned in Megillah that she was greenish in color, and it's associated with Truba, and so it means Ruchnis. So primarily we're talking about Ruchnistic reality. And boihu elu avonim hamufulamos hamshukois patahoim. Boihu refers to wet to mufulamos stones. It actually says mufulamos means wet. There's a couple of other explanations, including that it means strong and others. Shemehen yotzin mayim. Water comes forth from those stones. And how do we know? So we said that toihu is a line and boihu are stones. Shenemar. We have a pasuk that mentions them together. The nota aleha kav soihu v'avnei voihu. The context of this pasuk is talking about the destruction of Edom. How Edom, the nemesis of the Jewish people in all the generations, is ultimately going to be completely destroyed. And the Navi describes that Hashem is going to stretch out against it the line of Toihu and the stones of Boihu. So in the simple sense, it means, in other words, the line represents that Hashem is going to toe the line as far as judging them exactly as much as they deserve. And then the stones of Boihu, Hashem is going to rain down stones on them or whatever and make them into nothingness. But we're understanding also that it means that Toihu and Boihu are actual things that Hashem created at Ma'is Bereishis, one of which can be described as a line and the other of which can be described as stone. Stones are building material. So that represents the material, so to speak, that Hashem made the world out of. In that place, in Hemshech Ayin Beis, it talks about that Toihu is associated with Bria and Boihu is associated with Yetzirah. Of course, we also have throughout Torah Chassidus where we talk about Olam HaToihu and Olam HaTikun. So all of that comes into this as well. So those are the 10 things. So the Gemara asks for Urbi and Mishin Ivri. You're telling me Hashem created the light on the first day? Well, later on, only on the fourth day, does it say Bayitinoitzim Alekim Birkiya Shemayim? Hashem placed the sun and the moon and the stars in the vault of Shemayim. And then there was an evening and a morning, a fourth day. So what light was there before that? And the answer is Kedir Rabbi Elazar. The answer is like what Rabbi Elazar says. The Amar Rabbi Elazar, Ur Shabarak, Kodesh Baruch Hu, B'yem Rishin, that light that Hashem created on the first day, Adam Tsofa B'yem Tsofa Olam Bad Tsofa, a person would be able to see with it from one end of the world to the other. But then when Hashem looked at the Dura Mabul and the Dura Flaga, the Rosh Maaseh Mekokolim, and he saw what messed up things they did, what terrible averus they did. You know, we say in the Maim of Basi Lagani that they were among the ones who caused the Shechina to recede from the earth, to go up higher and higher in the heavens that we're going to talk about on Omid Beis. So they can't use that light. Omid Begonza, Mehen, so Hashem went and hid that light from them. Shenema, as the pasuk says, V'imona me'rishoyim oiram, Hashem withheld the light from the Rishoyim. Or the Mi Gonzai, who did Hashem hide away that light for? The Tzaddikim, Lost of Lavai, Hashem hid it away for the use of the Tzaddikim in the future. Shenema, Vayar Elakim Sa'urki Toiv, the Pasuk says Hashem saw the light that it was good. The Rashi on the Pasuk actually explains that it means that it was good and it's not the kind of thing that human beings on the level that they are worthy of using, and therefore Hashem hid it away. But here the Gemara is explaining the word Toiv itself refers to the Tzaddikim, Vain Toiv, Ela Tzaddik. The word toiv refers specifically to a tzaddik. Shenemu imru tzaddik ki toiv, and the pasuk says, say about the tzaddik that he is good. So therefore Hashem hid it vayara kimasa'ur ki toiv, that it's good to be used by the toivim, by the tzaddik. Kivin Shirah, Ursh, Gonzeva, Tzadikim. And then when Hashem saw this light that was hidden away from the Tzadikim, Somach, then Hashem was happy that he created that, that he created such a thing for the Tzadikim to be able to enjoy La'asid Lava, to be able to see all of the, to be able to see everything, everything Begashmias and Beruchnias. Shinema, Earth Tzadikim Yismach, as the Pasuk says, the light of Tzadikim will rejoice. Hashem rejoiced over the fact that he created such a thing for the Tzadikim. There's a verse from the Baal Shem Tov that says, by the way, that that this light, when it's hidden away now, it's hidden inside the Torah, and therefore a person who really know, who knows the Torah beyond what any of us can think of, what it means to know the Torah, will be able to use that light to see Misofo the Matsofo. Hence, you know, you have many stories where the Baal Shem Tov Taka used that light in order to be able to see things that are going on in other in other places in the world. So that's the light that Hashem created on the first day. Meanwhile, you have the light that we get from the sun and the moon and the stars, which was created on the fourth day. So the Gemara points out Ketanoi. This is actually a machlokas Tanoim. One opinion says what we just said. This light was such a powerful light that a person would be able to see with it from one end of the world to the other. That's what Rabbi Yaakov says. No, the light that we're talking about that Hashem created on the first day is the same light that comes from the luminaries, from the sun and moon that were made on the fourth day. They were created on the first day. They were only hung. They were only suspended in the heavens, and made to start operating, revolving, and moving only on the fourth day. But they were created on the first day. There are, in fact, Mephoshim on the Psukim who explain that essentially Hashem created everything. Actually, Rashi mentions it also, that Hashem created everything on the first day, and then the rest of the days are, so to speak, putting everything in its place and making everything function the way it's supposed to. So, in this connection, Omer Rav Zutra Batruvya Omer Rav Ba'asorat Dvarim Nivra Olam. There are 10 things, 10, before we talk about 10 things that Hashem created on the first day, now we're talking about 10 factors, which basically correspond to the 10 spheres that Hashem created the world with. We have to stress, of course, you know, as is brought in the Zohar, as is brought in Tanya, Iyu v'chayui chadhu, Iyu v'gamui chadhu. Don't think the spheres are just creations of Hashem and then, like, so to speak, Chas v'Shalom, they assisted Hashem in Ma'aseh Bereishis. They are part of they are part of Hashem's essence. They come down from Atzmos and Mahus. And in Atzilus, they're still connected with Atzmos and so forth, et cetera, as you have to learn about it in detail in Torah Sachsidus. Anyway, so these 10 things, Hashem, these 10 modalities, these 10 spheres, Hashem used to create the world. These are the famous triad of Chabad, Chochma, Bina, and Das. Over Koyach, and with strength. Over Geora, and with rebuke. Over Gvura, and with power. Koyach and Gvura are two different words for power or strength. With Tzedek over Mishpat, with justice and with righteousness and with justice. With Chesed over Rachmim, and with Chesed and Rachmim. So many of these we can map onto the familiar spheres. Chochma, Bina, and then Das, of course, we have right here. Gvura, Chesed and Gvura we have named. Tiferes is Rachmim, and the rest of them are the various other spheres under other names. So where do we see that each of those are used to create the world? B'chochma v'svona, d'chtiv Hashem b'chochma yosad aret, the pasuk says Hashem founded the world with chochma, konen shemayim v'svona, he established the heavens with understanding, so chochma and tevuna are used for those. B'das, d'chtiv, b'dayto t'homis nivko, as it says, with Hashem's das, the next pasuk continues, with Hashem's das, the deeps of the oceans were split open. We have to also remember, by the way, you know, and explains in many places in Tanya, the expression of the Rambam, Hu amada v'hu yadeya v'hu yadua, that Hashem is that Hashem himself and his das are one. And then the Alter Rebbe explains in several places in Tanya that that's what once we talk about in Atzilus already, then we can talk about that there is a das, and that das is one with Hashem. There are higher levels of Atmos where we can't even talk about individual spheres because it's all within Elokus and not differentiated in a way that we could talk about. Now, the Rebbe talks about in these places that Chochma is Kasiya Gufnis Etzla Yisborech, that we consider Chochma the highest of all of the spheres, but relative to Hashem himself, relative to Atmos, it's just as low as Asiya Kulam Chochma Asisa. So these are all, so to speak, tools that Hashem uses to create the world, but those tools, we're saying, are Miyuchad B'Tachos HaYichud with Hashem. So next, there is Chochma Bina and Das. The Koyach Gvura, Dichtiv, a pasuk says, Mechin Horim B'Choychay. Hashem sets up the mountains with his power. Nezer B'Gvura, he is girded with strength. The Nezer means like when a person wants to be strong and do a hard job, he ties his belt tighter so his clothes don't get in the way. So Kaviyachol, we use that as a metaphor for Hashem using Gvura to create the world. Big aura, there was rebuke or yelling involved. The pasuk says the pillars of heaven shake, and then they're astonished at his yelling. Rashi explains on the pasuk in Bereshit, like the heavens were like shaking kind of, and Hashem, so to speak, had to yell at them, and then they're petrified and they stand still, like the way if somebody yells at you, then you're shocked, or you're shocked into silence. So that's what happened with the Shemayim. The tzedek of a mishpat, where do we see Hashem use those to create the world? Yichtiv, tzedek of mishpat, l'chaim kisecha. The pasuk says, tzedek and mishpat are the foundation of your throne. And the Gemara is going to explain soon that the throne is that the throne represents Shemayim, which is part of Hashem's creation. The chesed of rachmim, Hashem used chesed and rachmim. Yichtiv, zchur rachamecha, Hashem b'chesedecha, ki me'olam heima. Hashem, remember your rachmim and your chesed, ki me'olam heima, because they have existed from forever, or me'olam can also mean from the world. So in other words, they existed, they were used to create the world. V'amar of Yehuda Amarav, b'shar shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu etz'olam, when Hashem was creating the world, hoya marchiv v'holich, it was getting wider and wider and bigger, k'shtei pak'iyas shel shes, like two balls of thread that are used for shesi. The shesi are the threads that you set up on the loom, and then you have those threads stay in place, and then you have the eight of thread goes back and forth, and then you weave the cloth. So you have like balls of yarn that you use to stretch out and make and then set up the shesi and set up the loom. So the world is getting bigger and bigger like those. Again, we just said Hashem used Ga'ara, so Hashem Garba, Hashem yelled at it, Behemida, and made it stop at a certain point, like Tosfos said before, Tavkuf Shana. The pasuk we just quoted, the pillars of heavens were shaking, and then they're astonished, and they're shocked at his yelling. It was made only so bigger. This is like what Rish Lakish says. My dichtiv ani keil shakai. Why is the name of Hashem Shakai Shin Dalad Yud? It stands for ani hu shamarti la'olam dai. I am the one who said to the world enough, that it has a certain gvul. So it means, in other words, first of all, just that the world has a gvul. Hashem could have created a world built the gvul, and he didn't. It also means, for example, that there's only a certain amount of concealment of Elokus that's in the world. Hashem stopped it at some point so that Elokus is not concealed in our world even more than it is, because Hashem had to make it that it's concealed enough that it's tachtonim, ain't tachton l'mata himenu, but no lower than that, because it still has to be possible to reveal Elokus in the world. In that connection, also Omer Shlokish, B'shach Shakarish Bara Karish Baruch Hu Yam, when Hashem created the sea, Hayamarchiv Ha'olich, it was getting wider and wider. Ad Shegar by Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yibshoy, until Hashem rebuked it and yelled at it and made it dry up and not go any further. Shenema Goyer by Yom by Yabshehu, as the pasuk says, Hashem rebukes the sea and dried it up. B'chol Anahores Hechriv. And he dried up all the rivers. So we see that there was a time when Hashem yelled at the sea and told it to stop growing any larger. The sea in Chassidus represents Alma de Skasya, the hidden world. So they also have a gvul. They also have limitations. Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa, Beis Shamer Oimim Shamayim Nivru Tchila V'Achatach Nivres Ha'oret. Beis Shammai says first the heavens were created, and then the earth was created. Shenema Bereshis Bara Elokim Es Hashamayim Ve'Es Aretz. In that order, first Shamayim, then Aretz. Ubesilam Eretz Nivres Tchila Va'Achakach Shamayim. Beisilam says first the earth was created, and then the heaven. Shenema the pasuk says V'Yoyim Asoyis Hashem Elokim Eretz Hashamayim. In Perek Bey, it says on the day that Hashem created earth and heaven, so earth came first. There's a sicha in Chelek Vav where the Rebbe analyzes many machloikas in Beis Shammai Beis Hillel can be reduced to the question of, do we go according to koyach or oil? Do we go according to the potential or the actuality of something? So in many cases, we find that Beis Shammai goes according to the potential and Beis Hillel goes according to the actual. A famous example being Neretz Chanukah, where Beis Shammai looks at the number of days of Chanukah that are yet to come, and Beis Hillel is looking at the number of days that have actually come. So the same way over here, then Beis Shammai is looking at Shamayim as being more important because that's where the potential of the world is. The potential of the world is to make it a Dirab Tachtonim, to make it that it will be like what the Shamayim are now. So therefore, Shamayim comes first according to them, whereas Beis Hillel looks at the Mepoil that Hashem created an Oretz for us to live on and accomplish mitzvahs in it, and therefore, according to them, Oretz is of primary importance. So Omr Lahem Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. So Beis Hillel say to Beis Shammai, you're telling me that the heavens came first. L'divreichem, according to your logic, Adam Boina Aliyah V'Achata Boina Bayis. Think of it in human terms. If you're building a house with two floors, do you build the second floor first and then the house? No. So why is the Shemayim created before the Aret? And the creation of heaven and earth is described in the Pesukim as building. Shenema Boina B'Shemayim Ma'aloisa. The Pesuk says Hashem builds his level, his high levels in Shamayim, va'agudose al eretz yisada, and his bond, meaning the people that he created to bond together and then learn Torah and do mitzvahs together, he founded on earth. So you see that the heavens are like the second floor and the earth is like the ground floor. You don't build the second floor first. And Beis Shammai answers Beis Hillel back, and according to your logic that you say the earth was created first, on different metaphor we have for heaven and earth. Does a person make a footstool and then make the chair itself? No, you make the chair first, and then you make a footstool to have a place to rest your feet. And heaven and earth can be described in that way. The heavens are my throne, and the earth is my footstool. So therefore, Beis Shammai says necessarily Shamayim have to come first. Rashi, in fact, explains based on the height of the where the reason why the chair is made first is because depending on how high the chair is, then you make the footstool to match that. So the same way, in other words, Beis Shammai is saying the earth is created in proportion to Shamayim, not the other way around. Marsha, by the way, talks about that you have again keeping in this idea of koyach and the poil, but Marsha puts it in different words. You think of like when a fruit grows. Do you have first the interior of the fruit grows, which is the main thing of it, and then you have the shell around it, or do you have the other way around? First the shell, then the pnimius of it. So therefore, Sir Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel essentially are arguing about that point. The Shamayim and the Oretz are like a fruit and its shell. So which one came first, and which one is of primary importance? Or not really a primary importance. The fruit is definitely a primary importance, but which one actually grows first? And therefore, in other words, in terms of Hashem's creation, which one did He create first? Say neither of the above. Both of them were created at the same time. Another pasuk says, Hashem says, my hand founded the earth, which refers kavyochol to Hashem's left hand. My right hand arranged the heavens. I call to them, yamdu yachdav, they stand together. So in other words, the Chachamim are saying that implies Hashem called out in one instant for Shamayim va'aretz to be created, and both of them are created on the spot. So both at the same time. V'idach, now what do Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel do to that pasuk? They say, my yachdav, they say, it means, what does it mean that the heavens and the earth are yachdav? It means we're not talking about when they were created. They were created first one and then the other, but Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel respectively. But they're together in the sense of l'mishtalfi ma'adadi, they never separate. You never, the heavens and the earth never move apart, never separate apart. So they're together in the sense Hashem put them like Hashem, like, so to speak, joined them together, and they remain joined together through me. Okay, so the Gemara says now, so we had this Shammai and this Hillel have their respective psukim. One says Shamayim and then Oretz, the other one says Eretz and then Shamayim. Koshu kroya hadadi. So the psukim seem to contradict each other. What was it? Amar Shlokish, it's like this. When they were created, then he created the heaven and then the earth, because there's a Seder Ishtalshalos, there has to go from higher to lower. And when he stretched them out and put them in place, then he spread out the earth and then spread out the heaven. Because ultimately, everything in Shemayim, everything in the Olam HaSoyonim, depends on us down here. So in that case, it can be described as Hashem setting up, Hashem arranging and putting the earth in its exact size and its exact form, and then making all the Shemayim, so to speak, on top of that. My Shemayim, why is Shemayim so called? Amar Rav Yosi bar Chanina, Sheshom Mayim, because there is water. And because there's water, there's the water, there's a Mayim Hel Yonim over there. In the Bar Mitzvah Mayimer, it mentions the point also that that the Mayim here refers to Torah, and therefore it refers to the idea that Hashem looks at us, the Jewish people, through Shemayim, and then he sees us as being much bigger and greater than we would otherwise be, because he sees us through the lens of Torah. And he compares it in the Mayimer to like looking at something through a magnifying glass. So that's the Mayim that's in Shemayim. The Masnisatana, in a Braisa, we learn that Shemayim is so called because Eish Umayim, it's composed of fire and water. Malamad Shevi and Akadosh Baruch Hu Tov and Zevazeh. So that teaches us that Hashem took fire and water and blended them together, V'asim Hen Rakia, and made the Rakia and made the heaven out of that mixture. Continues the Gemara. Shah Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva Kshoyim Ahalchim Baderech. One time Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva were traveling on the road, and Rabbi Shmuel asked Rabbi Akiva, Amalei, he says, Ata shishi mashta es nochum ish gamzu chavez shana. You, Rabbi Akiva, learned, and not only learned, shimashta doesn't just mean learn, it means meshamesh tamar chachamim. He literally served him like the way a servant serves his master, which is the Gemara mentions in other places, g'dola shimusha shol terda yosim limuda, to personally serve and attend to a tamar chacham is even greater than learning terda from him. So you did that for nochum ish gamzu for 22 years. Show you Dorish Kol S in Sheba Torah. Nochum Ish Gamzu used to darish in every single S in the Torah. It's not just, you know, in Poshut Pshat, we understand that the word S makes something the object of the sentence rather than the subject of it. So usually the word S doesn't have a taich. But Nochum Ish Gamzu used to darish in all these S in and say that we learn something from them. So, S HaShemayim V'Es HaOretz, Maha Yedorish Ben. So what did he explain about the S of S HaShemayim V'Es HaOretz? Omalei, so Rabbi Akiva answers him. Nochum explained, "Ilu nemo shamayim ba'aretz." If the pasuk had said, "Bereishis bara elakim shamayim ba'aretz," oh, you see, Omer, shamayim shmoi shel Hakadosh Baruch Hu, then I would have thought that shamayim and aretz are names of Hashem. In other words, it would mean Bereishis bara elakim shamayim ba'aretz. His name is elakim shamayim ba'aretz, and he created everything. Marsha says, one second then, what would it mean? So what did Hashem create? He created, but then it doesn't say, there's no object of the sentence. So rather, Marsha explains, you might mistakenly think, if it said it that way, that it means, Bereshis Bara Elokim, Hashem created, and he created, so to speak, like inferior gods, Shamayim Va'aretz, and then they in turn created everything else, and of course that would be Apikorsus. So therefore, Achshav Shenema, Esa Shamayim Va'esa Aretz, now that it says Esa Shemayim Ves Aretz, then it's clear Shemayim Mamish, Eretz Mamish, then it means the actual Shemayim and Aretz, they are the objects of the sentence. In other words, Bereishis Bara Elokim, Hashem created, and what did he create? The Shemayim and the Aretz. So that's why the S's are there, not to teach us something, not to teach us that there's something more, which is usually what Nochum Ish Gamzu would darshan in the word S to mean, but rather to make it clear that they are not Elokim and they're not inferior, they're not inferior gods that created anything else. Tosfos points out that on the Pasuk, actually, Rashi learns differently. Rashi brings that Eser Shemayim L'Rabbis Tov Hasein V'Es Aretz L'Rabbis Tzva'er, that it means it includes all the objects and all the things that exist in Shemayim and in Aretz that are outgrowths of Shemayim and outgrowths of Aretz. So that's a Medrash, which obviously disagrees with the Derasha that we're saying over here. The question is then Esa Oret Lomali. So okay, then it could have said Bereshis Baralakim Esa Shemayim Veha Oret. Why a second S on Oret? Once we have the S before Shemayim, then it's clear that Shemayim and Oret are not part of Hashem's name, and it's clear that they're not inferior gods or whatever. So what's the S by the Oret by Oret? And the answer is Lahakim Shemayim Oret. It comes to tell us that Shemayim came before Oretz, which is like the Shammai said before. Because, in other words, Rashi explains, Bishamai can't only use the fact that it says Shemayim and then Oretz, because the fact is, they're two words, they have to be in some order, you can't say two words in the same breath, only Hashem can do that, Zohar v'Shamar. So therefore, of necessity, one of them had to be written first, so how would we know that it means that after the one, that's why the V'es Ha'oretz, Rabbi Akiva is saying, Nochem Ishkamzu had said, that is why we have the V'es on Ha'oretz to tell us that point, that Shemayim was actually first. Next, the pasuk continues. The next part, so it says Bereshis Bara Kim as a Shemayim as Oretz, but then it ignores the Shemayim and starts speaking about the Oretz that it was Tohu Vavoyu. So Mechti b'Shemayim Ascha Bereisha. Consider the pasuk started first talking about the heaven. Ma'ishnad Kachoshim Ma'isa Eretz. So why did it first start talking about the things that Hashem created on earth? So Tonet Veda B'Shmol. We learn in a brisa from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, Moshal Melech Basav Adam, it's like a human king, he tells his servants, I want you to be up early, first thing in the morning, and be by my door. Hishkim, so when the king woke up in the morning, he had a job for his servants to do, he found there women as well as men. He had servants of both men and women, and both of them were there. Lemi Meshabeach, who does the king praise more? The ones who don't usually wake up early or the ones who are usually more sluggish, and this time, because he told them, then they dafka got up early and were there. So in other words, Marashah says the women are usually up early or the men are usually sluggish. We see this week. We have Parshas Vayakel, the Maisa Mishkan. We see the women were more eager to come and donate to the Mishkan than the men were. So the people that are usually more naturally inclined to be sluggish and be slow about it, they're the ones that Hashem praises more, and therefore Hashem starts focusing on them first. So in other words, the nimshal is that the Shemayim, you know, the nimshal is everything on earth happens very slowly. Everything in Shemayim happens very quickly. So here, the earth being massive and sluggish and naturally inclined to just stay in one place. But nevertheless, as the Medrash says, Rotza Lassus Ritzon, it's called Eretz because Rotza ran Lassus Ritzon Kona to do what Hashem wants. Therefore, Hashem shows it honor by talking about the creation of the details on it first before dealing with Shemayim. Next, the Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Oylahem labrius shiroyus ve'enin yodis marroyus. Woe to the creatures, to the people on earth. They see, but they don't know what they're seeing. They can see a world around them, but they don't really understand how it was created and how Hashem runs it. Oymdis ve'en yodis amahin oymdis. They're standing on a world, and they don't even realize what they're standing on as far as they're concerned. The world just stands, and it just is, and they never think about it. Really, they should consider Ha'aretz al ma'imedes. What does the world stand on? Al ha'amudim. It stands on pillars. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Hamargiz eretz mimakoyma. Hashem shakes the earth from its place. Va'amudeha yispalatzun. And its pillars tremble or shatter. So in other words, Marsha explains the pillars that we're talking about over here are the three pillars that we have in Pirkei Avos, Ala Torah Vala Avoda, Valgmulus Chasadim, or Ala Din Vala Emes Vala Shalom. So sometimes you have those pillars are shaking and shattering when people are not doing those things, but other than that, the world stands on those things, and people have to realize that. Amudim Ala Mayim, those pillars in turn stand on the water. Shenema l'roika aretz alamoyim. As the pasuk says, Hashem spreads out the earth over the water. This is the bracha we say every day. Mayim alahorim. The water in turn stands on top of the mountains. Shenema alhorim yamdu moyim. As the pasuk says, the water stands upon the mountains. Horim beruach. In turn, those stand on the ruach, on the wind. Shenema kihini yotze horim uvoyrei ruach. As the pasuk says, Hashem forms the mountains and creates the wind. So, what do the mountains and the wind have to do with each other? It means, in other words, to tell us that the wind is supported by the mountains. It seems that maybe Rashi had the gusa the other way around, because Rashi says that the mountains stand on top of the wind. So maybe Rashi had the gusa the other way around. We said horim beruach. Yeah, the mountain. Yeah, that is the gusa in front of us. The mountain, the water is on the mountains, and the mountains in turn are on the wind. Ruach the sa'ara, the wind or the air in turn stands on top of sa'ara, the storm wind. Shenema ruach sa'ara oisad varay, as the pasuk describes, the storm wind that does what Hashem wants, what Hashem says. So in other words, dvaray refers to the ruach, is made by and supported by the sa'ara, the storm wind. And sa'ara tluya b'zroya shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that in turn is dependent on Hashem's arm. The gvura of Hashem, shenem when we tachas zroyas olam, as the pasuk says, underneath are the arms of the world. So the arms of Hashem kaviyachol that support the whole world. Marsha explains the symbolism of this is like this: why are we saying olahem labrius, woe to the people? What's so terrible if they don't know all these details? So he says like this: the three amudim again we're saying are Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. What do those stand on? Where do we get what Torah is, what each of those things are? And also at the end of the first parak of Pirkei Avos, Din Emes and Shalom, what are they based on? They have to be based on Torah represented by water. Like we said before, Hokol Tzomei L'Chol HaMayim refers to Torah. So people have to realize that what sustains the world is Din Emes and Shalom. And that in turn has to be, that Din and that Emes and that Shalom has to be according to the Torah. In turn, the Torah stands on the mountains, meaning the great tzaddikim who taught the Torah to us. They in turn stand on the wind, on the spirit, representing the fact that a person has bechira chofshis. So they had bechira to do good or the opposite, and they chose the right thing. That in turn depends on sa'ara. The sa'ara, he explains, refers to the yetzahara. The fact that a person has a yetzahara is what makes bechira chofshis possible. And all of that depends on the arm of Hashem, which makes it all happen. And Hashem created the yetzahara and created all of those things, one piled on top of another, until you get to the world that we live in. So Rabbi Yossi is saying, Olahem labrius, woe to people. They live in a world, they live out there, they live through their lives, they go through their lives, and they never realize this concept of what the world is all about and what keeps it running. The Chum say we agree the world stands on pillars, but we say it's 12 pillars. Shenema Yatzev Vulos Amim L'Mispar Bnei Yisrael. The pasuk says Hashem set up the boundaries of the nations according to the number of Bnei Yisrael. How many Bnei Yisrael in the narrowest sense means the sons of Yisrael, the sons of Yaakov, and there were 12 of them. So therefore, 12 pillars. The Yesh Amim Zayin Amudim. Some say that there are 7 pillars. Shenema Chotzva Amudei Hashiva, as the pasuk says, that the pasuk personifies the Chochma of Torah and says she carved out her 7 pillars. So the world is carved out and placed on top of 7 pillars. Rabbi Loza ben Shamor, Imal Omud Echad B'Tzadik Shmai. Rabbi Loza ben Shamor says the world stands on one pillar and its name is Tzadik. Shenema B'Tzadik Yisod Olam, as the pasuk says, the Tzadik is the foundation of the world. Marsha explains like this. The Gemara tells us at the end of Makos, we know there are 613 mitzvahs, but various tzaddikim in different generations summarize the Torah under a smaller number of headings. So there's a kapitel tilim, kapitel tesvav, which mentions 11 good midas that a person has to have, and the Gemara goes through and explains what each of them means, and those are kind of like a summary of the Torah in capsule form. So Mepharshim, and on that Gemara, explain in other words that David realized the people are not, the people are going to have a hard time if they have to focus on all 613 at once. They're going to have a very hard time of it. So therefore, he summarized it under 11 general headings where a person works on those, and then from that they can come to keeping all the mitzvahs in the most perfect possible way. So there, now the Gemara says over there, so the Gemara says that David summarized it in 11 things. Later on, Yeshaya summarized it in 6. And then the Gemara ends up saying that Chavakuk summarized it in 1, but Tzadik Bemunasa Yichya. Now, in David's list and in Yeshaya's list, you don't have a Muna, but obviously they know that a Muna is a fundamental. So therefore, you have David's 11 Midas that he mentions in Kapitel Tesvav, plus a Muna gives you 12. That's why the Chachamim say over here 12 pillars. The Yesh Omrim, I was saying you have Yeshaya's six principles and add to them Amunah, but Tzadik Beminasi Yeshaya. There's your seven, so that's why they say seven pillars. And Rabbi Elazar ben Shammua says that he focuses on what Chavakuk did, but Tzadik Beminasi Yeshaya, summarizing the whole Torah under that one principle. So that's the one principle that the world stands on. Next, let's talk about, now that we talked about the earth, let's start talking about the heavens. Amar of Yehuda, Shnei Rekiyim Hem. There are two levels of Shemayim. Shenema Hema Hashem Lekecha Hashemayim, or Shmei Hashemayim. Behold, Hashem owns and controls the Shemayim and the Shmei Hashemayim. So therefore, there are two. Maharsha explains, Shemayim would mean outer space, and Shmei Hashemayim would mean the Ruchniistic worlds. Resh Lakish Amar Shiva. Resh Lakish says not two, but seven. The Elohein, and they all have names. Viloin, Rakia, Shchokim, Zvul, Ma'oin, Mochoin, and Arovas. And we're going to go through each one of them and where we know that it's the name of a heaven and what they accomplish. So the first one is Viloin, Enim, Shamash, Klum. The one called Viloin doesn't really have any independent function of its own. Elam, Nichnas, Shachris, Yotze, Abis. It goes in the morning and goes out at night. And in that way, it renews Maisa Bereshis every day. Rashi explains that Nichnas Shachris means every day it's put away in its case. So in other words, it's called Viloin, which literally means a curtain, because it's like a curtain that blocks the sky, the view of the sky from us. So therefore, so it's rolled up and put away in the morning, and then we can see the light. And in the evening, it's spread out again, and that's why it's dark at night. So that's Machadish Petuvah, B'chol Yom Tamid, Maisa Bereshis. Tosfos says, in that case, if the Viloin is in the way, how would you be able to see the stars at night? So Tosfos says, maybe it's translucent, maybe you can see it like the way you can see them through the clouds. But Tosfos says the other way around. Nichnas Shachris means it comes into the world in the morning, and it's bright, and therefore the light comes from it. And then it goes out, it leaves the world at night, and then its light goes away, and therefore it's dark, and therefore we're able to see the light of the stars, which otherwise would be washed out by it. So that's the first one. Shenema, and we know that there's such a heaven. Shenema, Hanoita Chadok Shemayim. The pasuk says Hashem spreads out the heavens like a curtain. Vayim Tochim Ka'ohel Loshavas, and Hashem stretched them out like a tent to live underneath. So therefore, it has to be the tent that we live underneath. In other words, the lowest heaven that's closest to us. So the word Viloin itself is a word that came to Lashon Kodesh later. That means a curtain, but the word, the Tanakh word for it is Doik. Next, Rakia, the second heaven, is called Rakia. That's where the sun and the moon and the stars and the planets are all fixed in that one. The pasuk describes when Hashem created the sun and moon, he placed them in the Rakia. So therefore, that's the next level up. Maharsha points out, by the way, that scientifically the sun and the moon and the stars and everything are all on different, they're all on different levels. But in other words, the Gemara the Rambam describes, when he describes the various galgalim, he says they're like onion peels, one on top of the other, without any space between them. So okay, in other words, what the Gemara may mean over here is that you have there's a level which is called the second heaven, and within that there are multiple sub-levels that include in individual sub-levels for the sun and the moon and so forth, each in their own sphere and each in their own path. Next, the third one is Shchokim, which is called Shabore Chaim Omdus B'Tochnes Mon L'Tzadikim. There are millstones over there that grind up mon for the tzadikim. The word Shchokim itself comes, the word shochak means to grind. So this is the heavens of grinding. And we know that mon comes from that level. Shenema, the pasuk says, "Vayitzav shchokim mimoal." Hashem commanded the shchokim up above. V'dalsi shemayim pasach. He opened up the doors of heaven. Vayamter aleim mon lechov gomer, and Hashem rained down on the Jewish people mon to eat. So the main mon that's being ground up over there is for the tzaddikim lasid lavoi, and Hashem gave the Jewish people a taste of it in the midbar. The next one higher up is Zvul. Which literally means the dwelling place. Shabo Yerushalayim of Beis Hamikdash. There is the Ruchniistik of Yerushalayim and the Beis Hamikdash. Mizbeach Banui, and there was a Mizbeach built over there. Michal Hasara Gadol opened a Makriv Alav Korban, and Michal, the great prince, the great Malach, is standing over there and offering Korbanos. Hagoyes Habach adds a line, which you also find in Ein Yaakov and in other places, that the what do you mean? What korbanos? Are there animals up there in Shemayim? So no, what it means is he's makriv nishmasim shel tzaddikim. He's offering the nishmas of the tzaddikim to Hashem. In various places in Chassidus, it talks about, in other words, that the idea is these neshamas of the tzaddikim, as great as they are, they don't have the ability to approach Hashem on their own, and therefore Malach Michal is makriv them and helps them come closer to Elikus. At the end of Torah on Megillas Esther, for example, it talks about the Alter Rebbe talks about briefly over there in a similar way to the way you have described in Megillas Esther, how the women in Achashverosh's beauty contest, they couldn't just come to Achashverosh on their own. They had to have Hegai Suisa Melech bring them. In the same way, the Neshamas have to have Malach Michal bring them closer to Hashem, and that's what we mean by Makrivol of Korban. Tosfos mentioned on the side over here, it refers to a Tosfos in Menachos, which says, and it's also brought in the Tur on the Halachas of Shemana Esrei. This is what we mean when we say in Davening, when we say in Ritzei, the Ishe Yisrael, Sfilosim Ba'avas Kavavaratzen, Hashem, you should accept the fire offerings of Bnei Yisrael. What fire offerings? We haven't brought fire offerings on the Mizbeach that are burnt in fire in almost 2,000 years. It means these neshamas that are being offered to Hashem by Malach Michal, that Hashem should accept that Hashem should accept that korban favor. So how do we know that level of Shemayim is called Zvul? Shenema, Boni Bonisi Beis Zvul Loch, Shlomo HaMelech by the Chanukah Sabayis of the first Beis Mikdash says, I have built for you a house of Zvul, a house of dwelling, Machan, the Shivta Chayilamim, a place where you will dwell forever. So in other words, we know that there's a Yerushalayim Shalmata and a Yerushalayim Shalmaila, and a Beis Mikdash Shalmata and a Beis Mikdash Shalmaila. So therefore, so he's saying that I've created down here on earth something like what you have in Zvul and Shemayim. Umanolim de Ikri Shemayim. So how do we know that Zvul is a name of heaven? Everything else we had up until now, Viloin and Rakia and Shchokim, each one is mentioned in the Pasuk in connection with Shemayim. So we understand that it's a level of Shemayim. But over here, where do you see that Zvul is a name of Shemayim? Dichtiv, you have a different Pasuk. Habet Shemayim Re'e. We ask Hashem, look from heaven and see. Mizvul Kodjachov Sivatecha. From your holy dwelling, from your holy and glorious dwelling, and look down on us Jewish people. And in fact, the Pesukim over there continue that we plead with Hashem to rebuild the Beis Mikdash. That how can you tolerate seeing the Beis Mikdash destroyed? So that all fits with this. We ask Hashem to look down from Zvul, from the Beis Mikdash Shamayla, and see the Beis Mikdash Shamata that's destroyed, and the Jewish people that are in Golus, and change that and take us out of Golus and build the Beis Mikdash. The next level is Ma'on. There you have groups of Malachi Asharis that sing Shira to Hashem by night. Why only by night? By day they're quiet out of honor to the Jewish people, because during the daytime is when the Jewish people praise Hashem. So therefore the Malachim do their thing only at night in order not to interfere. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Yoyma Mitzava Hashem Chastoy, by day Hashem commands his chesed, which means Rashi says that Hashem tells the Malachim by day to be quiet in order to do chesed for those who need chesed, namely us here on earth. Uvalayla shiroi imi, and by night his song is with me, meaning in other words, by night there's the song of the Malachim with Hashem. In fact, there's a different Gemara in Avodah Zarah where Rashi explains differently that it means even by night, David HaMelech is saying, Shiro Imi, Hashem's song is with me, because David learned Torah throughout the night as well. So therefore, the Malachim in that time aren't even needed to say Shira, because David is saying Shira. And in this connection, Amar Shlokish, Kola Oisik, by Torah Balayla, a person who occupies himself with learning Torah at night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshech Olav Chut Shal Chesed Bayoyim. Hashem draws over him a thread of kindness by day. In other words, he has an extra degree of Hashem's chesed on him by day. Shenema, the same passage, Yoyma Mitzava Hashem Chastoy, by day Hashem commands his chesed, Umatam, and why? Umatam Yoyma Mitzava Hashem Chastoy, Mishum of Alayla Shira Imi, because by night his song of Torah was with me. The Ikadam, one interesting explanation about that, as a person stays up but by night learning Torah, the next day he's going to be tired, his eyes are going to be baggy, and whenever he's not going to look so good, but nevertheless Hashem gives him a special degree of chesed that he won't look bad, that he'll look good and pleasant and then so forth as a result, as a reward for that. The Ikadamri, another version, is Amrish Lakish, Kola Osik Matoda by Ulama Zeshu, Domila Laila, a person who occupies himself with Toda in this world, which is like night, where the course is concealed. Then Hashem will extend over him a thread of kindness in Olam Haba through Doim El Yom, which is like day, where the course is clearly visible. Shenema, the same pasuk, Yomim Mitzav Hashem Chasto over Laila Shirayim. A couple more lines. We'll finish up with the rest of the Rekiyim tomorrow, but let's finish a couple more lines about this one. In this connection, Omer Ablevi, if a person interrupts words of Torah and starts doing some casual conversation, he will be fed coals of roisem. Rosamim, or roisem, in English it's called a broom tree. The coals of it have the particular quality that even when they look like they're completely extinguished on the outside, they're still burning brightly on the inside. So therefore, we're talking about a certain level of punishment where like the person is made to eat such coals and then be burned and horned by them. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Akutfin maluach alei siach. The Pasuk says, those who pick maluach on the siach, the shodesh resamim lachmam, then their food is the root of resamim. So the simple meaning of the Pasuk is talking about people who live out as savages in the desert and all they have to eat are like moss that they scrape off the bushes or whatever. But the Gemara is darshing it like this. Maluach, hakoitfi means they pick, so like they interrupt. Maluach refers to something that has lachluchis, something that has the moisture in it, namely the moisture of the water of the Torah, or Rashi, in Avodah Zarah, this Gemara is also in Avodah Zarah, Rashi explains that there's that, and there's also maluach in the Lashon Luchos, so it refers to the Torah that was written on the Luchos. So they interrupted alei siach in order to psiche, in order to stam have casual conversation. The result is v'shodesh resamim lachmam, that their food is going to be the roots of resamim that are going to be made into cold and fed for them. So umenolon de ikri shamayim. How do we know that? Which one were we up to over here? That Mo'in. How do we know Mo'in is the name of a heaven? Again, it's not mentioned in connection with shamayim in that pasuk. Look down from your holy Mo'in from Shemayim. So we see that Mo'in is the name of one level of Shemayim. Okay, so the remaining levels we'll deal with tomorrow. That's the Shem.
Swap to Davening. Ashkif from Kodesh.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Shkoyach, everyone. Okay.